It is 6 March. It's Sunday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Prophecy Report. Communists in the Pentagon. Yeah, that and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, so let's see. We've got, before I get into anything about the actual report itself, I just wanted to give you a title from Breitbart. Exclusive Florida Democrats weaponize Stop the Steal. They have a photo of Trump to influence local election. Okay, that is right here in Sarasota, Florida. Just so you know, this has made national news as the left has gone out and they've done something that's actually illegal. A far left wing group has taken something. We are having a vote in Sarasota County on Tuesday. You can vote early. If you do, vote often. I voted yesterday. But on Tuesday, they have two things that they want you to do. Now, one of the things is something that Sarasota County has always voted for. There's a 2% millage increase for the school board. They passed it like 15,000 years ago, and it expires after 2 years. And every 2 years, they ask for the same amount of money. They want to keep getting this money in. And generally, Sarasota County voters have voted yes on that. And the reason why is because they want to educate their children. I will never vote on that when they're promoting what they're promoting in Sarasota County right now. Yeah. I voted no on that yesterday, and I think you should, too, if you're going to vote, because they need to have the problem fixed before they get the money, not afterward. Yeah. So the second one is a referendum. It's an amendment to the Sarasota County Constitution, I believe. But anyway, it's a referendum on voting. What we have here, since in the past 50 years in Sarasota County, no Democrat has ever won a seat on the county commission. And there's a reason for that. It's because we are predominantly a Republican county. Okay, well, they want now to change this so that they can have each commissioner voted for by a district. And by doing that, the north end of the town is a bunch of liberals. And so they want to say, okay, we're going to have each one of them voted by district, and that will give them at least 2 votes on the county commission and possibly 3. And so if they do that, they will have control, and we will become just like Miami, just like Tampa is becoming very quickly. So you want to vote yes on this amendment. You want to vote yes that you vote for all people, all of the commissioners in Sarasota County. If you know somebody that doesn't normally vote, you tell them, get down there and vote. Because if they get their foot in the door, Sarasota County is going to go exactly the way the rest of this state is going. Be sure to vote yes on that amendment. You vote for all of your commissioners, okay? That's important. I had a little thing I was going to show you on it, and it's gone. But I wanted to show you a picture of the Stop the Steal thing that they did. They actually took a picture of Trump, and they said, don't let them steal our votes. They said, vote no. And then they, on the other side, got a picture, a bad picture of Biden and Pelosi, right? Don't let them steal our votes. Vote no. And they're a left wing and they're trying to get you as a conservative to vote no. Don't let them do that to you. So vote yes on that Second Amendment. Vote no for the millage increase. Okay. Having said that, now we got that out of the way, and we have some visitors today. We've got some repeat visitors who are Jose and Mark, and they are a part of the Jesus Crew. They travel all over the United States. Anytime there's anything going on of any major importance, whether it's a Super Bowl or whether it's a demonstration in Washington or if it's the Daytona 500 or the Daytona Bike Week is what it is this week, they will go to it and they minister to people. They tell them about Jesus. They hand out tracts. They do this all over the nation, and they also fly to other countries and do this as well. And so they're planning on a trip to Israel now that Israel's opened up. And so if you want to support a really valid group of people, I can vouch for them. I get his videos every time he posts a video. He's driving in his car. He never stops. He's in that car like 5,000 hours a day. It's just he's constantly, I'm on my way to Texas today. And next day, he's, I'm up in Alaska or whatever. So if you want to help these guys, you can support them. They do a great job. And as I said, this is their second visit. They decided to come by here after going to Daytona, and immediately he's driving all the way back to Texas. So there you go with that. Welcome to both of you. Then we also have Mauro Carlini and his wife, Dee. And they went for a trip from North Florida, where they live. They went down to the Everglades and they spent some time there. And on their way back up, they've stopped at the Superior Word. And I so much appreciate you making this effort. And then finally, we have somebody I've never met. And I didn't know he existed because somebody would just email me over the past years about different Bible questions and stuff. And I've kind of gotten to know her is a lady named Bonnie. And Bonnie has a husband. And her husband is down here. He's from Orangeville, Pennsylvania. And he went down to the, or he's going down to the Florida Keys. And so he's actually going to Key West. And I told him to be careful down there. Kind of keep your eyes closed at times because there's a lot going on in the Florida Keys, especially in Key West. But it's wonderful to have you here, sir. I so much appreciate the effort. So thank you for coming. All right. Then we have, let's see, our first category, as always on Sunday, is news from Israel. From Globes, Israel successfully tests naval version of Iron Dome. We know the Iron Dome, they've been protecting themselves, especially with the Gaza people lobbing in bombs by the hundreds or even the thousands in that recent conflict they had. And it worked beautifully. Well, now they have a naval version of it. The Israel Ministry of Defense, the IDF, and Rafael Advanced Defense Systems announced that they had successfully completed complex trials of the protective dome system in a naval configuration based on an advanced version of the Iron Dome rocket defense system. The naval version was operated for the first time on the Israel Navy's Sa'ar-6 Corvette INS Magen. In the trial, various scenarios simulating existing and future threats that the system might have to deal with were tested. These included rockets, cruise missiles, and UAVs. The MOD says that the success of the trial is an important milestone in the development of operational capabilities for protecting the state of Israel's strategic assets and vital interests against existing and future threats in the area. The ministry also says that protective dome's capability is an important layer in the ability of the Israel Navy's ships to defend themselves and their zones of operation and contributes to Israel naval superiority in the region. Protective dome is part of a layered air defense array that includes the Arrow and David Sling longer range systems. In other words, somebody from Iran sends something in, a big ballistic missile, they would handle those farther away threats. Okay, so we have that. Moshe Fatel, head of the HOMA administration within the Directorate of Defense Research and Development at the MOD, which is responsible for the rocket and missile defense system, said by means of the powerful radar that was developed specifically for the protection mission, the system successfully identified the threats, launched at it rockets, cruise missiles, and UAVs, and on the high seas, fired naval Iron Dome interceptors at them, which destroyed them with perfect accuracy. Good news for Israel. Okay, from the Times of Israel, Israeli citizen arrested in Saudi Arabia after publicly praising Israel. Now, just so you know, this was not a Jew. Okay, this was a Bedouin. All right, but I have a point, the reason why I'm including this particular article in here. An Israeli citizen is being held under arrest in Saudi Arabia for an angry rant in a pharmacy during which he praised Israel as the best country in the world. Sami Al-Ubara, 40, a resident of the Bedouin city of Rahat in the southern Negev region, suffers from diabetes, which was likely the cause of his behavior, his family said. I've never heard of diabetes causing this type of thing to go on, but they want to try to get this guy from being arrested or, you know, imprisoned forever and ever. So they're making this excuse up. But he was arrested during a pilgrimage to the kingdom. Israel has no diplomatic ties with Saudi Arabia, which could complicate any efforts to secure his release. The family has appealed to Saudi officials, explaining that Obara is unwell and was not in control of himself. They have also asked M.K. Mansour Abbas, leader of the Islamist Ra'am Party, which is a part of the Knesset, which is, yes, a party of Israel's ruling coalition, and others for help. A video shared on social media and apparently filmed by Obara himself showed him raging in the pharmacy at the service he was given. Obara can be heard fuming that he had wanted to see a doctor but was instead sent to the pharmacy. I swear to it, my brother, we live in a good country. Israel is the best country in the world. The workers there didn't like it, and they called the police. Okay, first, you're not going to hear about this on the lamestream media. And the reason why is because this person is a person that is a Bedouin, a Muslim probably, in Israel, saying that the country he lives in is the best country in the world. And they don't want people to know that because it blows away their narrative. My second point on this is that if you are in a foreign country, you do what that foreign country says. Yes. You don't act like a jerk in a foreign country. Listen, I've lived in foreign countries. I lived in an Islamic nation. I've lived in other countries. And you keep your mouth quiet, okay? That is what you do because you don't know what the laws are and you get yourself in trouble. Fortunately, when I was in Malaysia, I was a diplomat. And so they couldn't do anything to me except say, we're expelling you, okay? But other than that, you have to keep your mouth quiet. You just don't say a word. I've got people that have been missionaries in other countries. We got several ex-army and other military branches right here, right now. And you know that. They tell you these things in advance. But that's my recommendation. And my third point is that if you're going to get nasty with somebody, don't film it yourself. Okay? That's not smart. Okay? All right. From the Al Jamaner. Egypt's El-Sisi has taken a strategic decision to deepen ties with Israel. President El-Sisi has taken this strategic decision. The report says El-Sisi is striving to deepen economic and commercial ties, adding, this new approach can be attributed, among other things, to the major success of the Abraham Accords. Thank you, President Trump, which have helped promote economic deals signed between Israel and Egypt themselves and private companies from the two countries. A second factor listed by the report is Egypt's need for Israeli assistance with the U.S. admin, which is pressing Cairo on human rights. Meanwhile, the energy sector has been over the past decade one of the areas in which deals between Israel and Egypt have flourished. We know about that because I brought it up many, many times over the years. Pipelines have been laid and sales agreements signed and also implemented. Now, as a part of the new approach that Al-Sisi has adopted, these deals have been expanded to include Jordan. Okay, so good things are going on around Israel right now. As we know, the Bible says that these things are temporary. There's going to be a lot of trouble for Israel in the future, but these things are being lined up right now, which are actually going to be protections for Israel. Because we have, and everybody's saying it's going to happen tomorrow because of what's happening in the Ukraine. It won't be tomorrow. The alliance known as Gog Magog, which will come down against Israel. Okay, and as I've said, and I'll say it again because people don't seem to agree with this, is that there are several factors that tell us that Gog Magog is not yet going to happen. The first is that there has to be a reason why they're going to go into Israel and attack. They're not just going to go in and say, we're going to go attack this country. There has to be a reason. There has to be what is known as a hook in the jaw, according to the Bible. Whether it's oil, whether it's natural gas, whether it's, you know, whatever. There has to be a reason. And right now, there's no reason. All you're going to do is just kill a lot of people and you're going to get yourself exploded because Israel has nuclear weapons. Okay? So that's not going to happen. And secondly, as I've said, and I've had people disagree with that, is that Libya is not yet engaged. They're not ready to be engaged. And until Libya is ready to be engaged in this conflict, it's not going to happen. Now, it could happen 24 hours from now, they could get rid of their internal struggles and they could have one group that is leading Libya and it could change. But right now, it is not in play. So we don't even want to worry about that. What's that? Well, there's internal conflicts right now in Libya. You've got two entirely different factions that are fighting each other. There's oil involved in it. You've got Russia and you've got Turkey, which are on one side. You've got the U.S., which supports another side. There's no agreement, okay? And because of that, until that happens, this is not going to happen, all right? But having said that, when Gog Magog comes, there are a couple of countries that are not listed as coming against Israel. Egypt is one of them. Saudi Arabia, Jordan, etc., that whole area over there are not listed as coming against them. In fact, they just said, hey, have you guys come to take a spoil? They just lift their hands and say, we're not getting involved in this. They're just going to stay out of it. And it's because of what President Trump has done. He was able to get these agreements and he's been able to further the agreements between Egypt and Israel, and they will not break their treaty with Israel that they have agreed to. And so this is an important thing to understand. It's part of the biblical scenario that was written 2,600 years ago in the book of Ezekiel, and it is as if the pages of the Bible are being printed in our newspapers right now. Thank you, President Trump. And from the Jewish press, hundreds of Aliyah and return requests from the Ukraine on day of invasion. And they've got more each and every day. These Jews that are now wanting to come back to Israel. And that was also prophesied by Ezekiel. I'm going to take you to Ezekiel 36. And we'll read what it says there. This is, you know, this is how you know that if nothing else tells you that there is a God and that he has put his stamp of approval on a particular stream of religion within the human experience, it's known as prophecy. He says something and it comes to pass and it validates that he is God and that he is able to get his message to the people of the world, telling them what is coming, how it's going to come, and when it will come at times. Okay, so in Ezekiel 36, taking you first to verse 11, it says, I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bear young. I will make you inhabited as in former times. Speaking of Israel, that was completely barren for the past 1900 years, and do better for you than at your beginnings. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Yes, I will cause men to walk on you, my people Israel. They shall take possession of you, and you shall be their inheritance. No more shall you bereave them of children. Thus says the Lord God, because they say to you, you devour men and bereave your nation of children, therefore you shall devour men no more, nor bereave your nation any more, says the Lord God. Nor will I let you hear the taunts of the nations any more, nor bear the reproach of the peoples any more. Nor shall you cause your nation to stumble any more, says the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, and they defiled it by their own ways and deeds, to me their way was like the uncleanness of a woman in her customary impurity. Therefore I poured out my fury on them, for the blood they had shed on the land, and for their idols with which they had defiled it. So I scattered them among the nations. We all know that that happened, and they've been scattered all these many, many millennia, or many hundreds of years, 2 millennia, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. When they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said of them, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they have gone out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations, wherever they went. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord your God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. That's the main point. He says that several times in Ezekiel chapter 36, that I will take you out of the nations and bring you back into your own land. And that is what's been happening. He's been doing it in various ways for the past 150 or so years. Russian pogroms and the Nazi Holocaust and, you know, persecution in this country, persecution in that country, as well as blessing in Israel. And all of these people that you would never expect to want to leave their country because they've got it good, suddenly turn around and say, I want to get out of here. I have another home I can go to. And that's what's happening in the Ukraine right now. There are many, many Jews in the Ukraine. And who would have thought 3 weeks ago that they would be saying, I want to get out of here. And all of a sudden, the Lord has done what he said he would do. So go read the whole chapter. You'll see him repeat that sentiment 2 or 3 times, how he's going to do it, when he's going to do it, etc. The Lord has spoken and it will come to pass. So there you go. Okay, we got some news from Christianity here. From the Christian headlines, Chinese government is rewriting the Bible with communist principles, a watchdog group warns. Now, I reported on this about 1.5 years ago. I read this article, actually a different article, but on the same thing. But they are still working on this, and it has not gone away. They're getting closer to having their Bible rewritten. A spokesperson for the Voice of Martyrs warned that the Chinese government is currently attempting to rewrite the Word of God in accordance with communist values. When I reported on this before, it was something that they were going to do. Now they are in the process of doing it. This is a project that the CCP announced in 2019. That's when I reported on it. At the time, they said it would be about a 10-year process to release a new translation of the Bible. He noted that the reimagined scriptures would include a variety of principles, including Confucianism and Buddhism. This new translation would really support the Communist Party. Voice of the Martyrs pointed out that the CCP's revision of the Bible will include core socialist values and the removal of passages that do not reflect communist beliefs. One example of the changes was revealed in a high school textbook released in September 2020. In the textbook, the CCP changed several verses in John 8, Voice of the Martyr said in a social media post. I also reported on that. As the biblical story goes, Jesus forgives an adulterous woman despite the Pharisees' call to stone her to death under Mosaic law. The CCP's translation, however, alters the story where Christ ends up stoning the woman as he admitted, "I also am a sinner." In one sense, it's just so arrogant to think I'm going to rewrite the story of Jesus. But then you think about denying the deity of Christ. He said if Jesus is a sinner, then he's not God. He went on to note that the purpose of the revisions is to demonstrate the CCP's attempt to lessen Christianity's influence on some of its citizens. The issue for the CCP is control. Exactly what we get with the left in this nation is what they have over there. It's just they're further along down the stream. It is always about control. And they see the Christian message as something that would take control away from the Communist Party. Because when you tell people that they have a hope that is greater than this world, it doesn't matter what somebody does to you, they can't take that away. And so those people will never be good commies, ever. Okay, because their hope is in something other than the state. From the Wall Street Journal, houses of worship face clergy shortage as many resign during the pandemic. With pastors and rabbis stepping down from churches and synagogues, lay people fill more roles while congregations share leaders. For 8 years, Keith Mudiapa accepted the challenges of serving as pastor at his non-denominational Minneapolis church. The 70-hour work weeks. That's all he works? I can't believe it. Boy, I wish I had that job. The low pay. The calls from parishioners at all hours in exchange for the joy of seeing people come to faith. But the rewards of the job were tough to come by during nearly 2 years of online-only services. Late last year, Mr. Mudiapa quit and moved with his wife and children to Florida. He now works at a bank. And this has been going on all over the U.S., and it's part, I am certain of this, this is a part of what they said, we can take the churches down with what we're going to do. We're going to affect the state of churches in the nation, and they have done it, because there's a lot of people that will not stick it out. In this church, we never closed. We never closed 1 week, even during the lockdown. I said, if you don't want to come, don't come, but I am going to be here. I am not going to close this church. And so several people came, and it was just the same as it always was. So I will tell you, though, when he says you've got a 70-hour work week, he's just getting started. But the low pay, okay, I have actually three part-time jobs that I do. And I was saying this in the Bible class on Thursday night, is that one of them is to take care of a mall out on Siesta Key. And I cut all the trees, I mow the lawn, I clean the bathrooms, I fix this, I fix that. I do this 6 days a week. Okay. And a couple of the guys that go to the projects with us on Saturday, and they also come on Thursday for the Bible class, said to me, we need somebody to take care of our condo where we're at. And it's not a big condo. It's just like 4 or 5 units. And it's got a little patch of grass that you could mow in 30 seconds. And once a year, they cut the palm trees and they do all this stuff, right? It's the guy comes for 5 hours a week, right? He does about maybe a third or less of what I do at the mall every day. And the pay is 3 times as much as what I make at the mall. And if he has any extra jobs, they pay him for that. And I thought, oh, I would love to do that. I would love to take that job over, because 3 times as much, I could actually quit preaching and just do that. Well, anyway, what I decided, though, is that the people that have hired me now for the past 25 years, I owe them my allegiance. And so I'm going to continue to do it. But it was tempting to just quit that job that I have and just take the one down the road a little bit. I could not believe how much money they pay. And here's the kicker on it. The reason why they were asking me is because they said, we've went out and we've asked for people to give bids, and we are within $10,000 of the closest bid from what they're paying right now. Nobody even take the job for what they do it for. I was amazed. I couldn't believe it. I'm not going to tell what it is, but it's a lot of money. Anyway, we got some news from the Middle East and Africa today. From the South China Morning Post, India and UAE and Israel, the three of them, trade deals set up a U.S.-backed Western Quad alternative to China as Abraham Accords bring new reality to the Middle East. This is something I've talked about, and here's another article on it going on. A free trade agreement struck last week between India and the UAE is the first of a series of deals which will soon bring together members of the U.S.-sponsored strategic alliances in the Middle East and Asia. The UAE, a wealthy oil exporter and the Mideast's top trade hub, is also close to wrapping up a free trade negotiation with Israel, Emirati officials said, underpinning a rapidly growing relationship established under the Abraham Accords in August 2020. Who was president at that time? Yeah, Trump! Marking the 30th anniversary of diplomatic relations with Israel in January, India announced it had also entered into free trade talks with Jerusalem. Free trade between the two countries. That is outstanding. Alongside the free trade deal concluded by India and the UAE on February 17th, it would establish the economic framework of the so-called Western Quad Alliance established last year in partnership with the U.S. The signing of the historic Abraham Accords has not only opened up new opportunities for our own bilaterals, but also the quadrilateral strategic cooperation between the UAE, the U.S., India, and Israel, describing the Western Asian Quad as an offspring of the Abraham Accords. Ambassador Albana said that the multilateral approach embodied by the U.S.-backed alliances was more critical than ever to respond to increasingly complex threats to global economic growth and stability. Once again, we want to thank our President, Donald Trump. From the Voice of America, Iran nuclear chief says country will enrich uranium to 20% even after the nuclear deal. Now, they've come out and they've said this openly. They're still in negotiations right now. I'll have some more reports on that probably Wednesday. A lot has been going on with Iran in the past 7 days. But they are saying that regardless, and this is not a part of the agreement, they say that as soon as the agreement comes in, we're just going to be in violation of it. So Iran will continue to enrich uranium to 20% purity even after the sanctions on it are lifted and a 2015 nuclear deal with world powers is revived. Iranian news agency quoted the country's nuclear chief. Uranium enrichment continues with a maximum ceiling of 60%, which led Westerners to rush to negotiations, and it will continue with the lifting of sanctions by both 20% and 5%. The head of Iran's Atomic Energy Organization was quoted by the semi-official news agency Fars as saying, the 2015 deal restricts the purity to which Iran can enrich uranium to 3.67%. So I'd say 20 is a little more than 3.67%, far below the roughly 90% that is weapons grade or the 20% Iran reached before the deal. Iran is now enriching to various levels, the highest being around 60%. Islami did not elaborate or explain how 20% enrichment would be acceptable under the 2015 nuclear deal, which Iran has been trying to revive through indirect talks with the U.S. Iranian officials had told Reuters earlier that Iran had agreed to suspend its 20 and 60% enrichment if an agreement is reached in the Vienna talks to salvage the 2015 pact. Separately, a senior Iranian cleric said earlier that ending Iran's economic isolation by lifting banking and oil trade sanctions was Tehran's most important demand in talks with world powers in the Austrian capital of Vienna. Okay, they're demanding things when they are in the weak position because we have the weakest person in the universe sitting in the White House right now. This is why they're doing all these things. But they're saying it doesn't matter. Even after this agreement, we are going to go to 20%. Iran urged the West to be realistic in the talks as its top negotiator returned to Tehran for what might be final consultations ahead of a possible accord following months of indirect talks with the U.S. If these sanctions are not lifted, it is as if there were no talks. A majority of Iran's hardline parliament demanded in a letter last week that the U.S. should guarantee that they would not abandon a restored agreement. Okay, I've talked about this. I'm going to tell you something that I will give you information on probably on Wednesday. They have demanded that there is no way of getting out of this agreement. Okay, when a treaty between countries has to be approved by who? The Senate. If it is not approved by the Senate, then the next president can annul it. But, and this is something that I will tell you either Wednesday or Saturday, is that they are working to make it impossible for the next president, even without the Senate, from getting out of what they are doing. In other words, they are betraying the United States of America in the White House right now. So be ready for this. I'll get you that information. It came out, I think, last night, or it was just too late to put into the report, and I wasn't going to go fudging around and giving you a bad analysis of it. But keep that in mind. A senior Iranian official has told Reuters that Iran has shown flexibility by agreeing to inherent guarantees that the U.S. admin will not quit an agreement, as Washington says it is impossible for Biden to provide the legal assurances Iran has demanded. So you're just going to go around the law and do something that is so criminally irresponsible, I won't say what the penalty should be. Iran insists on the immediate removal of all sanctions imposed under President Trump in a verifiable process, including those imposed under terrorism or human rights measures. Something else I will report on coming up. I just saw another article on this, and it will be on that second issue. Probably Wednesday I'll talk about it, if I can fit it in there. Okay? Really important what the traitors in the White House are doing right now. From the Times of Israel. Report, under draft nuke deal, Iran to first cut enrichment to 5% and get $7 billion in asset. This is under a draft nuke deal. Iran is to first cut enrichment to 5%, okay, which they said they're not going to do, and they're just going to give them $7 billion as an appeasement so that they will do what they're asking them to do. Instead of saying, you do this, you sign the treaty, and then we'll give you $7 billion, they're just doing what the previous president before Trump did. Remember, he gave him all that money and just flew it over there. These are traitors. These are not good people that are running this operation. These are traitors. Okay? All right. From a GOP video, asked if Biden would welcome Iranian oil, Psaki says, we'll talk if we get to that point. Buying Iranian oil. I'll have more on that on Wednesday probably too. If I can fit it all in, you'll get more information because this is really important what's going on right now. Zero Hedge. China buys 700,000 barrels of Iranian oil every day, violating U.S. sanctions. So they've been violating their sanctions all along, and they're still working on a deal with these people, and they've already given them so much that they are no longer in any point where they need to deal. They can, as they are, they're taking the strong hand instead of the weaker position because they've already sold the house out to the Iranians. Traitors. Okay, Breitbart. Ukraine National Guard shares video of fighters greasing bullets in pig fat for Chechen orcs. These Muslims are coming up to assassinate the Ukrainians, and the Ukrainians said, well, we're going to give you a little shot of pork. Yeah. Here's what I think will probably happen, though. I bet you that they will be prosecuted for human rights abuses. Now, I bet you they will. When this is over, they'll say, you people put pork on those bullets, and that's a human rights abuse, when these people are coming up there to assassinate them. But that's probably what will happen. Okay, now something from Mongolia, from AS. What countries surround Russia and Ukraine? How are they involved in the conflict? I just took out one little section which involves Mongolia. Mongolia, which is squeezed between the two giants, China and Russia, has strong ties with Russia since Soviet times. And in the Far East, Russia has a small border with North Korea. The isolated nation has relied on help from Russia in international negotiations and in times of crisis. Okay, so that's it. That's all I have for you on Mongolia. It was a very boring week, except coronavirus, which I just don't want to talk about anymore. I just don't even want to go over it. Okay, Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up in that regard? From Study Finds. Okay, who here has a smartphone? Hold it up. I want to see if anybody, I got lots of hands here. Okay. This affects you. They're actually showing me their phones, too. Okay, here we go. Study finds. How many people are in here right now? Not many, but we'll say 6 out of 10 of you. So you figure out the number. 6 in 10 couldn't cope without smartphone for a day. 1 in 8 suffer anxiety from low battery. I want you to ask yourself if this affects you. If this is you, then I would suggest that you do what I did with Facebook. I just left it. I just left and I was done. Take your phone for 2 weeks and put it on a shelf and determine to live your life again. That's what I would ask you to do. Here we go. Does it feel like your smartphone never leaves your hand? You're not alone. A new survey reveals 6 in 10 people could not cope with being separated from their mobile phone for more than a day. Surprisingly, the poll of 2,000 smartphone users finds only 3 in 10 claim they never leave their house without their phone. When they do bring their phones along, however, most people are completely dependent on it for help. 2 in 3 rely on their phones to take photos, while 64% use it to check the time, and 62% are constantly looking up weather forecasts. Another 13% confess they can't even find their way to work without a phone showing them on the map. They just every day rely on the phone to tell them. I have never used that type of technology. I did the GPS when I traveled around the U.S. Somebody let me borrow his, but I had in my car door every map of the United States, and I still have them. I can get anywhere in this country without GPS. You can't. Speaking of traveling, 27% of respondents admit they're completely reliant on their smartphone for directions. 1 in 3 add they've never used a printed map in their life. That's all I use. That's if I need to, I go to the computer and I get the directions and I print it off and that's it. But that's all I use is printed maps out of the car door in my car. With all these people relying on their smartphones for everything, it's no surprise they're constantly looking for places to charge their dying batteries. The survey found 55% of respondents believe running out of battery power is a nightmare scenario. 1 in 8 people claim that a dying battery actually gives them anxiety. Smartphones offer so much, it's unsurprising that we're dependent, making the common complaints around battery life a real issue. There are other ways we can preserve our phone battery and offset that angst, from using network connections selectively to muting unnecessary sounds and stopping apps from running in the background. These all help the cause and keep you switched on for longer. When it comes to what's most important to people these days, the poll finds nothing would be more upsetting than losing a smartphone. Nearly half the survey said it would be very upsetting if they lost their phone. That's more than the number who would stress out over losing their bank card, their keys, or even their wedding ring. Overall, the average respondent checks their mobile device 20 times a day. They also spend 2 full hours looking at their phone screen over a 24-hour period. I was driving home yesterday after dinner, and I looked at every car as I was passing. Every single car, people were doing this while they were driving, or if they were stopped, they just were oblivious to what was going on around. They were just sitting there doing this. I would suggest that you take your phone and put it on a shelf for at least 14 days, just so that you can prove to yourself that you are capable of getting along without it. That would be my recommendation from my heart, not just joke, from my heart. Okay. It's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues the book of Revelation prophesies of. Let's see how that's going. Zero Hedge. Record high global food prices imminent as edible oil soars. This happened once before in the 10 years we've been doing this, and it's a real problem because it then affects everything else. Edible oil prices soared this week, prompting fears that record high food prices could be imminent. Soybean oil. Oh, you know what? We can thank the guy in the White House that we just got yesterday a 50-cent increase in our gas. Your trip back up north is going to be burdensome, buddy. And your trip south and then north, forget it. You might as well just sell your dog or something because it's going to be hugely expensive. Everybody here, you're expected to save enough money every single week to make it to church and back, okay? Make sure you save that. But we'll get back to the article. Soybean oil futures in Chicago hit their highest levels since 2008, and palm oil, the commodity used in thousands of food products, jumped to new highs. Soybean prices increased 1.4% to 71 cents per pound, the highest level since 2008. U.S. canola futures are also on the verge of an all-time high. And palm oil in Malaysia, there we go, two of us, two Malaysians here, hit a new record high of $1,434 per ton. Drought has crimped soybean crops across South America this season. Rival oil seeds like palm and canola have also suffered shortfalls from adverse weather and labor shortages. And escalating political tensions involving Ukraine and Russia pose a risk for sunflower oil exports, which the two countries dominate. For the supply side, everything that could go wrong went wrong. Problems hit all the key producing countries, whether it's palm oil or a competing oil. There's no reprieve in the short term, and people are reacting to that. Earlier this month, Goldman Sachs' Jeff Currie warned that shortages across commodities could send higher prices. He said markets are incredibly tight from a physical perspective. We are out of everything. I don't care if it's oil, gas, coal, copper, aluminum, you name it, we are out of it. Soaring edible oils could be the next catalyst that catapults the FAO Food Price Index, a measure of the monthly change in international prices of a basket of food commodities, to a new record high for February. New FFPI data is expected in early March. As for now, FFPI sits near a record high in terms of January prices. For those in the Western world, food inflation is already leaving a mark on lower income households, and the worst has yet to come. Bad news. From GB News, you talk about bad news. I talked about this a couple years ago, and it's gotten a lot worse. Since the pandemic, the number of rats in the United Kingdom is said to be around 150 million, an increase of 25% per year since 2019. And not only that, the UK rats are, does anybody remember the article? They're huge. They're enormous. They're as big as cats. Rats as big as cats with bendy bones are crawling up toilet pipes and entering UK homes, as an expert warns, no one is safe. The rodents are said to be able to tread water for as long as 3 days and are multiplying rapidly. It has been suggested that this is a result of more people working from home over the pandemic, forcing rats out of the cities and into homes. Pest control expert Ian Halans said, no one is safe. Rats are exceptional swimmers with bendy bones and can squeeze into the smallest of spaces. They can hold their breath for 3 minutes and tread water for 3 days, and they are coming up waste pipes. They're cunning and getting bolder and bolder. Basically, if they want to get into your home, they will. People are scared, and they should be. There are more rats than ever, and they are taking over. I have seen some the size of cats. Earlier in February, proposals to ban a type of rat trap, which causes a slow and more painful death, passed their final hurdle in the House of Commons. They're worried about a painful death for these rats when they have a plague imminent in the UK. They can be trained as pets. That's true. And big water rats are delicious. If you don't believe me, go down to Vietnam and check it out. MPs gave their backing to the glue traps offenses bill, which would make it an offense to set a glue trap for the purpose of catching a rodent, as well as a handful of other connected offenses. Anyone found guilty will be liable for either a fine or imprisonment. They're worried about these rats when they have a plague on the way.
Yep. Dirty rat.
You dirty rat! Morality is declining. Here's some news on that. From Mail Online, I like this. Country star John Rich, never heard of him, but he compares teachers and librarians to pedophiles at national school hearing for putting banned and obscene books in the hands of children. Good for him. Mail Online, Texas Governor Greg Abbott orders state welfare agency to investigate and prosecute parents who allow their children to undergo sex change procedures, including puberty blockers. Abbott issued the order in a letter to State Family Services Agency. He warned that procedures including hormone therapy are legally child abuse. Transgender advocates slammed the move as harmful to kids and politicized, but conservatives praised the step as legally necessary to protect children. It's unclear what legal effect the order will have on trans kids and their parents. Well, I can tell you immediately, one parent that has a kid that's transitioning sued for it to be continued. Can you imagine a parent doing that? Well, they're out there. They have a big D in front of them.
Yes.
Some other news from around the world. And as I say each week, please be sure to check out the Superior Word sermons. You're going to get a lot more information and a lot closer to your relationship with the Lord than you ever will listening to news. Now, I appreciate listening to these because this is what I do. But I would prefer for you to get into the sermons and watch those and only watch one prophecy update a week, which is ours. Okay, Gateway Pundit, Canadian speaker. This was so appalling. It's Canada. They're goners now. But I wanted to report it to you so you know what's going on up there. I couldn't believe it. I actually watched the video, and it's just shameful what he did. Canadian speaker blames poor audio, cuts members' feed when he asks why Klaus Schwab is bragging about the WEF successfully infiltrating half of Canada's cabinet. Yes. Now, this guy is on video saying this. I've infiltrated half of Canada's cabinet. And this guy in the parliament stands up and he starts saying this. The speaker cut him off. It shows you he's in the back pocket of Klaus Schwab. Okay, the Canadian Parliament continued its debate over Trudeau's unprecedented use of Emergencies Act, and due to the ongoing crackdown against the trucker convoy, most of the members attended the session virtually through video chat. During the session, Oshawa MP Colin Carey had his feed cut by the Speaker of the House after asking about outside influence, specifically Klaus Schwab, potentially corrupting the Canadian government. Carey asked the legislatures point blank about why Schwab has been bragging about infiltrating governments around the world, including over half of Canada's cabinet. But the feed cuts out before he can finish his full statement. Right after he asks which specific members are in league with Schwab's World Economic Forum, he says, which one of you? And they cut him. How convenient. As the feed cuts out, the visibly panicked speaker quickly shouts for order as he waits. And there's nobody in there. It's just this guy speaking. Order, you can't say this. Waves his hands and claims a very, very, very bad audio connection was to blame for Carey going dark. Then, as if the question had never even been asked, he attempts to move along to the next topic. Unbelievably, the next MP to speak, NDP's Charles Angus, was so outraged over the question that he angrily accuses Carey of spreading misinformation. As for Angus's baseless claim of misinformation, here is the video of Schwab bragging, and they link the video, about having Trudeau and the Canadian government's loyalty and calling the Canadian Prime Minister the best representation of the WEF's dystopian agenda. There he's saying this, he's got the proof, and they cut him off. That's what liberals do. Silence the opposition. Zero Hedge. Pentagon. The place where all the military runs out of? Pentagon hosts event promoting socialism. The National Defense University is a specialty academic institution founded by the U.S. DOD and funded by the U.S. taxpayer. NDU's aim is to provide advanced education for senior leaders in the field of national security. Earlier this month, NDU hosted an event called Responding to China, the case for global justice and democratic socialism. During the event, French economist Thomas Piketty, who argued that global security requires promoting a new emancipatory and egalitarian horizon on a global scale, a new form of democratic and participatory ecological and post-colonial socialism. He argued that if the U.S. sticks to its dated hyper-capitalist model, Western countries may find it extremely difficult to meet the Chinese challenge. In other words, Piketty believes the U.S. should prepare itself against China by becoming more like China. Piketty's concluding remarks asked, what about sharing at least a fraction of global tax revenues? Now think of the brain pan of this idiot. Paid by the world's most powerful economic actors, multinationals, billionaires, between all countries according to population. Global taxation distributed by population. How interesting that the U.S. has the most wealth to tax, while China has the highest population to distribute it among. It's almost like this Pentagon-run colleague is promoting China's agenda. But more stupidly, if we're making all this money so that we can be so highly taxed, then obviously we're doing the right thing. The guy's a complete imbecile. Oh, it's not fair that you have all this money and you got to transport it to us and become like us so that we can be poor and not be able to transport the money to these people. They're idiots. Breitbart. Biden to divert agents from U.S. southern border. This was a week ago, but I thought I'd include it. Send them to assist with Russia-Ukraine conflict. We've got a million people in the past year coming over our southern border and no end in sight. And he wants to take our border people and send them to the Ukraine. Biden's admin is looking to divert U.S. Border Patrol agents from their mission at the U.S.-Mexico border to send them overseas to assist those fleeing from Ukraine amidst Russia's invasion. Even as illegal immigration continues pouring through the nation's southern border at record levels, Biden hopes to entice Border Patrol agents to sign up voluntarily to aid American citizens, green card holders, and their immediate relatives fleeing Ukraine into Eastern Europe. Epic Times. What's that?
Not Afghanistan.
Not Afghanistan. Not yet. That's coming soon. Epic Times. Russia pursued deeper military relations in Latin America days before the Ukraine invasion. Now, this is important for a couple of reasons, but it's something I thought I'd read simply because it shows us what Russia has been doing all along. There are other articles I may include on Wednesday about this issue as well. But this particular one is something I never would have thought of. Is that when they're getting ready to do something, they increase their presence in South America. And so it's an interesting article, and it's not just this time. There's past precedent for it, which they cite. During official visits to Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Cuba last week, Russian Deputy Prime Minister Yuri Borisov spoke of deepening economic and military ties with the respective socialist and communist governments of its allies in the Americas. Russia's chairman of the State Duma, and I can't pronounce that guy's name, also visited Cuba on February 23rd and Nicaragua on February 24th. I mean, right before going into the Ukraine, making it Russia's second official diplomatic meeting with anti-U.S. regimes in Latin America in 1 week. Further, Volodin's state visit occurred within hours of Russia's attack on Ukraine. Some experts believe a new Cold War era stage has been set in the Western Hemisphere in Latin America, political analyst Fernando Menendez says. That's exactly what they want us to think, he added. It made sense to get Russia's allies in America's backyard on the same page diplomatically and militarily, especially given the full-scale invasion launched on Ukraine this week. Which is last week. After February 23rd's meeting in Cuba, Volodin said the island nation's communist regime supported Russia's position in Ukraine. He also mentioned Cuba, emphasized that no state should ensure its own security at the expense of the security of other states. Cuba is ready to defend this point of view together with Russia in the international arena. Borisov's visit to Venezuela on February 16th focused on military and economic objectives. After the meeting, President Nicolas Maduro proclaimed Russia and Venezuela were on the path of powerful military cooperation. The Russian deputy prime minister reinforced the message during a visit with Nicaraguan President Ortega in Managua on February 17th and said, "For more than 40 years, we have been providing technological and military support to your army, and we are going to continue offering our support." Ortega quickly voiced support for Russia in Ukraine during the audience with Borisov, saying the 2014 Revolution of Dignity coup in Ukraine shouldn't be forgotten, comparing it to the widespread protests against his government in Nicaragua over changes to the national pension system back in 2018. Borisov also visited Cuban Communist regime's President Miguel Díaz-Canel on February 18th to reaffirm ties between their nations. Officials in the former Castro regime were quick to condemn what they called unfair sanctions imposed on Russia and affirmed their support for Moscow in the Ukraine. I'll stop there. But the article continues and it shows past precedent where Russia is going to go do something. Before they do, they go down and visit these people, including, if you remember, about a year or so ago, 2 years ago, I think it was, I reported on them flying their Russian bombers over to, I believe it was Venezuela. And it got Trump all upset, and Trump gave them a red line and says, this is not going to happen. Well, this is what they're doing again. They are solidifying their foothold with these people when they're over here so that these people will support them. And obviously, if something happens with us, they can send their commies up here and blow us up as well. Whatever. But it's just an interesting thing to keep your eye on. Okay, who said it? Show me a politician who makes a lot of money, and I'll show you a crook. Anybody? He was a Democrat, but he was one of the better Democrat presidents.
The guy with the gray hair.
Yes.
Stevens.
No. The president.
Oh, president. Helmet hair. Be me up.
Harry S. Truman. It was Harry S. Truman. This guy got no presidential retirement. He lived in the house. I've been to Truman's house when I visited that area. Teeny little house he lived in. It's just that this... It's like something that you would have seen on CSTK 50 years ago, this teeny little house. This guy was, he walked his walk, regardless of, I don't even know what Democrats believed back then, so I don't want to slam him too much, but he had a D in front of his name, but he's right. Show me a politician who makes a lot of money, and I'll show you a crook. Okay, I got a Lesserick here for you. We'll see if you can figure out what's going on. I socialize on it all day. Get mail in Facebook and play. It translates for me, shows me where I should be. Near my pillow, it will also lay. There you go. Okay, we got a little bit of irony for you. As I say from time to time, I know this is sad. It's ironic, though, okay? This person is a lefty. And this person has been supporting what happened to her. Mail Online. Mayor Eric Adams can't even protect his own. Subway hammer attack victim. Did anybody hear about this person?
Yep.
A guy with a hammer went and beat the head of a woman with a hammer so hard it cracked her skull open.
Oh.
The victim is named New York City Department of Health scientist Dr. Nina Rothschild, 58. Brother says she remains critically ill in a hospital. She's a lefty. I'm sorry, but that is ironic. I know it's sad, but when you support the agenda of the left and then this happens to you, you only got yourself to blame. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Yep.
Such is the world in which we live. And so from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report for the week.